came here, that door was wide open.
I'm going to call to order the Catuit Fire District Prudential Committee meeting of March 25th, 2019. Could I have the roll call, please?
Ray Perone, Treasurer.
Lisa Mycock Kelly, Prudential.
Fran Parks, Prudential.
Sylvia Janow, Prudential.
Charlie Eager, Clerk.
Amy Cates is recording. Could we have the Pledge of Allegiance? Is there any public comment? Seeing no public comment, we'll move on to the Treasurer's debt authorization.
I shared with you the debt plan for the balance of this year and a pro forma one for 2020. Just sold the 225 that you had authorized at the previous meeting. That was sold to Newburyport 5 cent Savings, which was a new player in the game. They beat Cape Cod 5 by 5 basis points. But the other thing that was kind of interesting, that was only a 9-month note, so that everything would mature in December. And I don't know if it was because it was 9 months, but when you annualize the 2.4 quote that it came in on, it's like 3.24. And in December, we sold at 3. So interest rates moving up, I'm a little surprised by that. I don't think they should have moved that fast in light of what's been going on. The treasuries have all been dropping. But maybe it was too late to catch that. In any case, we sold $225,000 on a 9-month note that will mature in December of next year. And I have the papers that I would like you to sign for that. And then turning to 2020, we have the 1025 and the 225 all coming due in December. I am proposing that we plan on, not commit to now, but plan on taking the 500 and the 470, which is the chemical upgrade and the security projects, respectively, and put them into a longer-term 8 to 10-year note. Water Department tells me that the underlying assets of these projects should be good for 10 to 15 years. So an 8 to 10-year amortization seems conservative and reasonable. The other 285, I'm suggesting that we begin a pay down period in various periods based on the asset. The trucks and the air packs, I'm recommending 3 years. The roof of the fire department and the floor of the Freedom Hall, I'm suggesting 5 years. That gives you a responsible yet minimal amortization in 2020. And 2020 is going to be a tough year. So I think we ought to be responsible but conservative in that year.
Why do you think it's going to be a tough year?
Hmm?
Why do you think 2020 will be tough?
Because as I see the budgets coming in, I see the tax rate going up substantially.
Okay, thank you.
And I can pass these around for you.
Any questions?
No, just a comment again. I appreciate you sending this in advance because I was able to do your comments. Those are just
good. Okay. Thank you. They're color-coded. Green is for the clerk, and the aqua is for the Prudential Committee. That's the same thing. You just give me three copies.
I need to get stamps.
And that's for the clerk, and that's it. Fran, if you want to do that after, I'll wait around. And I'll seal it tomorrow, Charlie, and mail it.
Next is a space needs assessment. The beginning of last week, the chief and I met with Tom McKeon at the Board of Health to go over the requirements for the septic systems for the two. And I've included the report from Baxter and I. And we also went with Matt Eddy, who did the report. And basically what Tom says, he doesn't think we're going to need any variances. Because the Title V's, the flow from each is grandfathered from each building. And even if you extrapolate what the septic flow is permitted, which is 813.2 gallons per day, we're grandfathered for 878 gallons per day. So he doesn't, Tom doesn't think that we'll have need to get a variance or have any problem with approval from the Board of Health.
That's great.
And he suggests that this is the last thing that we do.
That's a money saver. Good.
So the Freedom Hall floor.
Yes, so I have actually good news to report. I moved forward, as we had discussed in the previous meeting, and started calling the vendors by order. March 19th, to ask them if they have their OSHA 10 information as required by law, and the contractor didn't even know what OSHA was. So, obviously, you know, couldn't fulfill the requirements, so I moved on to the second contractor, and that one mentioned that they had started the class, but didn't finish the class, and actually respectfully asked about the cutoff possible, so I said, that's fine. So we went with the third one, and that was Sullivan Flooring, the one that had the most comprehensive quote of them all, had a ton of references, and when I asked him for his OSHA information, not only he gave it to me, he sent me a picture of all the OSHA cards for all the people in his company, not only the ones that are going to work here, even the ones that are not going to work here.
That's great.
And when I asked them, if the quote included the payment bond, which is required because it was over $25,000, he said yes.
Excellent.
So as of right now, he's offered some low quote, and I would like to make a motion to award them the contract.
Okay.
I would like to make a motion to award O'Sullivan Flooring Company the contract to replace the floor at William Hall.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That worked out well, but
having said that, then now I'll contact them, and I don't know what our, we have a standard boilerplate that we use, and it's like to be provided. And
yeah, I can send that to you. I just, so when I met him here, he discussed what he was going to be doing, and which included, you know, covering all the smoke detectors, the projectors, the speakers, the sandblasting the two grates and painting them quarter round, vacuum the curtain, and the electrical outlets and the thermostats should also be covered. So should. Oh God.
That's all right.
So should we include that in the contract, or?
Yeah, everything we had discussed with him, I mean, that's fine. Whatever was in the quote, we can have that too. If he volunteered to do that, that's fine too.
Okay.
He should include what the full scope in the contract. I will also be including a couple of statutory requirements, which is the OSHA 10, he has to sign off. Besides giving us that information, he has to sign off on the fact that, you know, he understands that any personnel that's going to be involved in the project will have taken the course. There's a non-collusion form, there's a state tax form, and there's a, it's another one, regarding the labor. So those will all be attachments to the boilerplate. We'll send them off, he'll sign it, send it back to us, we sign it, and then it becomes a contract.
So are these along with the type of flooring and number of coats, are those an attachment to the contract?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And I would love a copy of that because, again, whatever section of our boilerplate includes the spec of the work that we're going to be doing under this contract, I'll make sure that that's included.
Okay. So I'll send you a copy of what we've been using. Okay.
Finally. So once we have that back, I know that we have some times that are more heavily scheduled already, so I guess we're going to have to take a look at the calendar again. And
that's another question I had. I was going to ask you if there's any way that I could have access to whatever events have been scheduled for the hall, because I would like to set up a schedule with the contractor for the work to happen before we award the contract, because after we award the contract, it's basically have 30 days to
yeah.
work. So if we have to delay it a little bit to make sure that all the events get done, and, you know, then that's fine.
There's a calendar. Is that pretty up to?
Yeah, it's up to date. It's on the website, but I will double check with Chris and have her send that to you.
Right. And they may also have, you know, projects that they're working on right now. So
yeah.
That's basically the last negotiation bit in this project, is just making sure that the schedule works for the project.
Because basically, it can't start before April 17th because the 16th is the Civic Association meeting. And the next Civic Association meeting after that.
Well, that's the kind of conversation that
I've been trying to
have with Jim. He seems concerned about being able to do the meeting here or not. And one of the things he had mentioned is perhaps if we let him know, he could make arrangements. But I have, you know, I have no feelings one way or another. I just want to make sure that whatever we do doesn't conflict with him, but if, you know, we want to delay the flooring so that they can have the meeting here at the 16th, that's fine by me.
Yeah. And it absolutely would have to be done by the 21st of May, because that's candidates' night, and when the presentation for water and the space needs is going to be done.
Water
use study. So, and I don't think. The only thing I'm aware of, excuse me, that's happening in April, at April 7th, is a very important birthday party for 50 kids or something. So, all right.
Oh, if he can start up for the 16th, I mean, technically that's between the 16th and the 21st, that'd be 30 days, so we would start right after, and should be done before the 21st.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We would try to squeeze it there. If we can't, then maybe after.
If you could send everybody with OSHA cards, then we could probably get it done. If you could send all the employees.
All the employees, yeah. Okay, so next on the agenda is an open meeting law complaint by Amy Cates. Okay, and so the complaint is on February 6, 2019 at 10 a.m. A workshop was held by the Kootenai Fire District Prudential Committee. On March 5th, 2019, I requested the minutes of the Kootenai Fire District Prudential Committee meeting held on February 6th, 2019 at 10 a.m. On Saturday, March 9th, 2019, I received from the district clerk, see attached, design meeting memorandum number 3 prepared by Caitlin Giardi. The memorandum does not constitute minutes of a Prudential Committee meeting, nor was the meeting recorded like past, current, and subsequent Prudential Committee meetings. Two of the three members of the board were present in this meeting, and it was posted on the committee's website. The meeting should have been recorded, called to order, and minutes taken. I feel the alleged violation was intentional. Ms. Parks and Attorney Mike R. Kelly are aware of the open meeting laws. The action she'd like to see taken is she would like the Prudential Committee to publicly acknowledge their open meeting violation on February 6, 2019. She would like the Prudential Committee to hold a new meeting and read the memorandum number 3 into the record and retake any votes that were taken regarding this memorandum at the February 6, 2019 meeting and or any post-meeting regarding this project. I would also like the committee to post on the website the findings of the district space needs assessment. So. Wrote a response to this on the 6th of March. I received the attached open meeting law complaint from Amy Cates regarding a 6 February 2019 building construction workshop held by the Prudential Committee at the Kootenai Fire Station. The workshop was held at the fire station at the request of the architects. I am closing the draft minutes of the meeting. I attempted to record the meeting, but my recorder malfunctioned. There were no votes taken at the workshop because it is my understanding that votes are never taken at workshops. The committee's usual meeting place is Freedom Hall, where we have an audio recording system. On 5 March 2019, Ms. Cates requested the minutes of the workshop and was sent meeting review document done by the architects. On the 6th of March, the Prudential Committee held a meeting where the architects did a PowerPoint presentation of 30 minutes reviewing the building plans. Ms. Cates did not approach me to discuss the documentation that she had been sent. To the best of my knowledge, she did not contact the clerk. The architect's memorandum will be attached to the minutes of the meeting done by me. All the district committees meet once a month, and unless there is an interim meeting is required, the standard procedure is that previous month's minutes are reviewed and accepted at the following month's meeting. Ms. Cates received the draft of the 6th February meeting on the 7th of March. Regarding her request for the findings of the space needs assessment being posted on the website, the study is not complete and has not been accepted by the committee. So, first of all, I'd like to state the open meeting law does not apply to an on-site inspection of a project or program by members of a public body so long as the members do not deliberate. We did not deliberate at this meeting. It was a workshop. Chapter 38, Section 22 of the Mass General Law states a public body shall create and maintain accurate minutes of all meetings, including executive sessions, setting forth the date, time, and place, and the members present or absent, a summary of the discussions on each subject, a list of documents and other exhibits used in the meeting, decisions made, and the actions taken at each meeting, including the record of all votes. No vote taken at an open session shall be by secret ballot. Any vote taken at an executive session shall be recorded by roll call and entered into the minutes. The minutes shall be created and approved in a timely manner. The minutes of an open session, if they exist, whether approved or in draft form, shall be made available by request to any person within 10 days. There's also Chapter 66, Section 5A, which basically says the same thing, recording the minutes of a meeting. In neither the state law, the bylaws of the Kootenai Fire District require that the clerk be at the meeting to take the minutes. It is standard procedure now almost for everyone in municipalities to record and have the minutes done after that. We did not violate the open meeting law. And quite frankly, I am appalled that Ms. Cates would assume or feel or believe that Mrs. Mycock and I would violate the open meeting law intentionally. That's just an inappropriate statement. I've sent off the reply as required to the Attorney General's office. I'll give Ms. Cates a reply. And then if she decides to further address this at the Attorney General's office, then we'll be hearing about that. Is there any comment?
I'd like to know if Ms. Cates has a comment or why she felt maybe this was intentional, or if there's anything we can do in the future to avoid any issues like that or miscommunication in any way, shape, or form. Because we're here to serve the whole district, and I, for one, want to make sure that there's no misunderstanding in the future. I personally don't feel like we're trying to do anything.
Certainly never intentionally violate.
Correct. But at the end of the day, I mean, there's a reason why people feel the way they feel. And if there's anything we can do to address that so it doesn't happen again, I, for one, and I think this whole committee would do the same so that that doesn't happen again. And people won't feel like that because, like you said, Fran, there's a workshop.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a meeting with a consultant that's dealing with a project of big importance to the town, I mean, to the district. And soon after, there was a meeting held where all that information was made public. So why certain members of the public may feel that this is being done intentionally, I don't understand, but I'm the new one, so I'm trying to see what I can do and maybe I can bring a fresh perspective and make people feel and understand that we're here to work for, not the other, there's nothing going on, at least that I've seen.
Amy, do you have any comment with respect to why you think it was an intentional violation?
I think that 6, 8, 10 open meeting violations ago, I might not have thought that the violations were intentional, but I think with the history of the Prudential Committee, and I look back through the history and all of the open meeting violations that have been filed, and that I can only assume that each time a violation is filed, that normally the Attorney General's office asks that the committee members review the law and do remedial studies and reading so that it won't happen again. And each time an open meeting violation result comes back, it always says, the last paragraph always says, if this happens again, the Attorney General's office will assume that it was intentional. So having read the last paragraph of a number of open meeting complaints where the Attorney General's office makes that assumption, I've made that assumption.
You do understand this was a workshop. This was not a meeting. You do understand that, correct?
Open meeting law. This was an open meeting. Is that correct? This was in fact a published, posted meeting that was open to the public.
It was a published workshop. It was not a meeting. Nothing was deliberated. No votes were taken. No decisions were made. And please,
a quorum of the committee met.
Did you not listen to what I just said?
No, I heard what you said, Fran. I heard what you said.
The law?
And my expectation is that minutes would be kept, even of a workshop. Do you remember Do you remember?
There are draft minutes. You were sent draft minutes, I believe.
I was sent the memorandum.
You were also sent the, I thought I sent you the draft minutes also.
You did. I didn't get them because I was informed that there weren't minutes. I was informed.
Who informed you that there weren't minutes?
The clerk.
Well, we haven't voted on the
minutes yet.
I was informed that there were not minutes available and that the only party that took minutes was, in fact, the consultant. So based on that information, that's how I proceeded. And you probably remember, Fran, because your tenure goes back, that I was chairman of the Policy Advisory Committee, and the committee didn't have a clerk, and yet the Attorney General said that even though the Policy Advisory Committee was in fact a workshop, was an education forum for elected members of the public and volunteer members of the public to get together and discuss issues that could benefit the Kootenai Fire District, that even though it was a workshop committee, that minutes were expected to be taken. So you probably remember back, Fran, when the Attorney General told us that.
I'm not aware that the Attorney General called it a workshop. It's a subcommittee that is required by the bylaws.
Right.
And if I remember correctly, you didn't take minutes at those meetings and had to recreate them.
I did. So your memory is excellent, Fran.
Sylvia is aware, those the multiple violations have been filed by Ms. Cates.
Right.
I guess the problem is again, just me looking at this with a fresh set of eyes, there seems to be a trust problem. And what I want to make sure is that you know, goes away. I personally don't feel like, again, in the short time that I've worked with you here, that there's anything that I've seen that's given me any reason to feel like there's any wrongdoing or anything. I've worked municipal government almost 10 years, or just over 10 years. And, I mean, it's there's certain things that are pretty blatant when you notice right away when people are trying to do things that, you know, maybe are not kosher, to say in that way. But I want to make sure, I also have seen in situations like that where us as a committee or the people who are part of the committee taking the step to say, hey, we can be more open, or if there's any way that we can communicate better with you, puts that issue to rest. So I would like to take personally that step with you. Maybe we can talk as a committee later and decide how maybe we can, deal with this situation or deal with future situations like that. But I want to make sure you understand that we are here to be open, we are here to be fair, we are here to be clear about what we're doing, and I don't want to keep doing business in this manner where there's mistrust amongst us and the public. Because what we do here, it takes a lot of our time. We do it because we believe in doing things in the benefit of the district. I personally, like, as you saw how late I came in almost at 5:30 because I came straight from my job to work here. And for example, this situation with the floor has enlightened me about the fact that this committee does actual work for the district. Most committees that I've seen or boards that I've seen have staff that they delegate to, and the committees are mostly policy driven, and we actually do work. You, for example, in this meeting that we're talking about, met with these consultants and are trying to do things. So these are all things that take a lot of our time, and we do it graciously, and we do it because we care. So we want to make sure that you feel that way too, because if you're not seeing it, then we're not doing a good job of showing that that's what we're all about. So if there's anything we can do as a committee to make you feel like we're working for you, if we can discuss things better with you, if we can put things in the agenda with you, if we can maybe have a better line of communication with you, I'll be all for that. I don't think, and I don't want to, you know, tell you how to do things, but I think there's a better way of communicating than doing open meeting violations, filings. If there's any concern that you had and you thought that certain things may have gone a way that you thought, you know, are not kosher, I would just say you can ask us, you can ask me, and I will tell you. And I'd be the first one to say, yeah, there's something that maybe we talk after this meeting, and you can explain to me the history of what, you know, that's led you to this point. And I personally guarantee you that I will work to erase that mistrust that is going on between our committee and you. Does that sound fair to you?
Sylvia, you have no idea how much I appreciate your comments. I didn't have any intention of responding to the open meeting complaint when I came here tonight. I thought that what I had filed was in fact what I thought, and I stood by the record. Then I decided when I approached the mic that in the spirit of communication that I would give some feedback about my history with the district and open meeting complaints and what had happened in the past. And I'm glad I did, because now what's happened is I've had an opportunity to hear your view, and I totally respect your view. I served as an elected official for 3 years, and I understand exactly what you're saying. The meetings were on Monday, and Monday was my Boston day, and I flew here from Boston. Well, I didn't fly. I flew by car here every Monday for this meeting, and I took the work I did seriously. I felt just like you do, Silvio, that I was elected by the Cotuit residents to represent their interests, and that in the 3 years that I served, my intention was to work hard and to be as transparent as I could and as open and responsive to the public as I could, okay? So I understand totally what you're saying. I agreed, and that was how I served for 3 years. I have not always witnessed the transparency that I would like to see from the people that I elected to serve the taxpayers. And I would like that to change. So what I like to see, I'd like to see the trust. I'd like to see the transparency. I'd like to see the respect. I would like to see that if there's a member of this audience that requests that they make public comments at the end of a meeting, or if they have a question, or if they have a comment, I would like this committee to be responsive to those questions in those comments, and not to say, well, we don't have to answer that, or what do you need to know for? And I'd like to see that happen, Silvio. I hope it does. I look forward to the day when that happens, and thank you for your comments and the opportunity to participate in additional public comment. Thank you. I'll stay here for another minute, and if there's any other member that would like to make a comment.
No, I appreciate you mentioning that, and I look forward to keeping the open lines of communication that we have right now. As I mentioned, I can't speak for the past, but in the time that I've been here, as far as I know, we're an open committee who allows anybody to speak their mind, as you're doing right now. So,
okay.
Whatever we can do to keep that open line of communication and transparency, we will keep doing that.
Okay.
So thank you for your time and your interest in the district, to be honest.
Okay.
You see, these meetings are very well attended, right?
Yeah.
But I see you, and I see a couple of familiar faces all the time, and that's good. People have to be more engaged in their government, so I'm glad you are, and we'll keep doing, you know, good by you.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Amy, can I just ask, in what areas is the transparency lacking in your eyes? I feel like you feel like we're always hiding things or something, and that's certainly not the case. Certainly not since I've been elected.
I felt animosity in my relationship with prior prudential committees. I've heard comments made in the district about people that have attended these meetings and shown interest. So So, you know, that's something that I don't think is necessary. I don't ever think that's necessary, that there would be comments, okay? And I'm someone who really wants full transparency. So if I have a question, I actually would welcome an answer to my question. I would always welcome an answer to my question. And if I ask a question, I don't expect disrespect or animosity to people that I've elected to represent me. In fact, I never expect that level of animosity. I never expect it. I think it's unnecessary, and I think it's totally unprofessional. And that has happened. I have been on the receiving end of animosity from I served from 2010 to 2013. So we're coming up on 6 years since I've served. And Silvio's right. I've continued to come to meetings. I've demonstrated my willingness to be an active part of this community. I've attempted to get information. I like to get information. I want to ask questions and get more information. I don't think I've ever not attended an annual meeting, you know. I mean, if there's 50 people, I'm always one of the 50. If there's 100, I'm always one of the 100, okay? I volunteer for the moderator to be, what's the thing that you count votes? Teller. Every year, Ken comes to me, and most every year, he may not come this year, but every year, pretty much, Ken comes to me and says, Amy, would you be a teller? I say, absolutely. Would you like to serve on policy advisory? Absolutely. Would you like to serve on bylaws? Absolutely. So I'm someone that wants to do that. I served 18 years as treasurer of the Cotuit Civic Association. Mm-hmm. 18 years. I have done everything I could to demonstrate to any elected member of this community my willingness to be a part of it and to own it and to care as much about this community as anybody could. That's what I would like. I would like transparency, respect, honesty, and I don't like hearing snide comments. I do not like it. It's unnecessary and totally unprofessional. So, thank you very much.
Thank you. So, any other business to come before the committee?
Do we have minutes to review?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. So. No. This is a committee meeting, not a question and answer period.
I think we should let Cindy ask her question.
Go ahead, ask your question.
My question is actually to the clerk. Charlie, as this discussion was going on, I saw your blood pressure rise through your physical appearances. You responded to Ms. Kate saying there were no minutes available. Dealing with you in the past, I know you always ask committee members before you answer the questions. Before you answered, Ms. Cates, can you tell me if you contacted any member of the Prudential Committee and asked them if there were minutes available?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Thank you. Contacted me, and I told them to send those minutes. I'll state again, there is no requirement for someone who has... So we have the minutes of February 6th, March 6th, and March 13th. So are there any corrections?
Are those the ones you emailed?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I do. Right.
Good. Yeah, those are the ones I emailed.
Yeah. No, I didn't have any questions. The March 6th was obviously a longer meeting,
right.
So... I didn't have any questions.
So I'll accept a motion to accept the minutes of February 6th, March 6th, and March 13th.
Motion to approve the minutes as written.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I'll now accept the motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion to adjourn. Second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.